The following is a presentation of the podcast no one will ever listen to.
This is our opening song. Kind of surprised it took this long to write it out to the point where it's okay. We know no one will ever hear. It's what we've been doing all year, and we don't care if like Beaver's hair. If you think it's gay, it's time for us to do what we do. The podcast no one will ever listen to, or no else if you like.
Be silent.
Duddy too. Brett's been around helping us do what we do, and that's the cast who always come to play. Chris, Dave, and Nick are back again. Jitter's around to rein them in. I think that's it. Now let's get this shit show on its way. It's time for us to do what we do. The podcast no one will ever listen to. Or no else if you like. It's time for us to do.
Still silent.
Well done.
All right, welcome to the World Cup edition of No Alt.
Hey!
Ole, ole, ole.
Ole,
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 bye bye Portugal and Italy.
And don't say that, they'll fucking bite you.
No, he's from Uruguay.
Oh.
And he's suspended for 4 months.
Oh, poor fucker just wanted food then.
He's suspended for 9 games international.
Yeah, and 4 months from FIFA.
And 4 months altogether from any type of soccer whatsoever.
Well, apparently this is the third time that he's bit somebody on the pitch. This is an occurring incident. This is not just something that happened.
You mean recurring?
Yeah, sure.
It's an occurring incident. Yes, it did occur.
It has also occurred in the past.
That's why everybody's talking about it, because it occurred.
Two times, twice.
If it didn't occur, nobody would talk about it.
A lot of times out of 10.
Less times out of 20.
Yeah.
But that was the weird thing too, because what's his name? Luis Suarez?
Yes.
Sure.
Well, that is a name that I have heard in the papers.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, all right.
He's been suspended for 24 games from the English Premier League for doing the exact same thing. And now he's got another 9 added on internationally.
Maybe they should just make him, if he wants to play, he's got to wear the Hannibal Lecter mask.
That'd be badass.
That'd be amazing. Dude, what would you do if you got out on the soccer pitch and you saw a guy wearing that mask and you went, what the fuck? And they went, he eats people. And they go, oh.
Well, first of all, I'd question why the fuck I'm on a soccer pitch.
Fair enough.
Yes. I appear to be dreaming or have been kidnapped and sold to a Portuguese soccer team.
Either way, it's not working out well.
Slaves to fucking play this year.
Well, shit, I've got excellent theory when it comes to soccer. I can tell you exactly where I fucked up.
Showing up.
I said, yes, I'll play soccer.
Yes, I put the jersey on. I tied my shoelaces. I undid my shoelaces and tied them again because I fucked it up the first time.
And apparently there are no Velcro soccer shoes.
I wonder if there are.
I'd imagine there would be for the lazy-ass player.
Or for the 4-year-olds.
Sure, them too. I'm a lazy-ass player, so I just go with what I know.
Bro, you're not even a player.
That's a good point.
I was impressed he actually knew it was a pitch.
I was raised on soccer. I've just done my best to try and forget everything I knew.
I've seen your stomach. That's not all you were raised on there, son.
Mm. Actually, of the two, myself and my brother, I was the thin one growing up. Yeah. And then he became a bodybuilder, and I found food in a big bad way.
He became a bodybuilder, Brody became a belly builder. Oh, it would have been amazing if I got that out in one try.
Oh, would you like to try it again, son?
Fucking yeah,
I've been working on my abs. So far, I only have the one, but it's a big one, so, you know.
Most people go for the six-pack. Brody's going for the keg.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So what else is all new and exciting over the last month that we've missed?
Eclectic Revival's been playing a bunch of shows. We've got a big show to announce for Three Men, Two Souls.
Yes, we do.
Which I assume we'll get to in a little bit.
Ah, fuck it. Let's do it now.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, the beeps, the sweeps, the creeps. The what, the what, the what?
The beeps.
Beeps.
The sweeps.
And the creeps.
Fuck that.
Ladies and
July 11th at the Rose Theater in Brampton, Three Men, Two Souls is opening up for the one and only Michael Winslow.
Yeah!
And if you don't know who Michael Winslow is, sorry, but we can't be friends anymore. He's the radar operator from Spaceballs, as we've already developed the line. And
the semi-badass cop.
The funniest cop Jones. From all the police academies.
Jones. Named Jones. His name's Jones in Police Academy. He's fucking hilarious, and he made the entire series, except for the movies he wasn't in, which were shit.
Dr. Monsignor Larvell Jones.
Yep. Yep. Very much so.
Yeah, no. So, we're really excited about that. Yes. Tickets are available. Go to crackmeupcomedy.com. Or hit us up on our Facebook page and we will point you in the right direction. I think it's $32, $47, and $52 for tickets. $52 tickets get you a meet and greet with Michael Winslow himself. And you can have a selfie with him. You can get him to sign something for you.
I got something you can sign.
For the $47 tickets or the $32 tickets, you can have a meet and greet with us.
Who the fuck are we kidding? I'm going to be in the lobby.
I know.
Hey, is that one of those guys? Yeah. Oh, I only paid for the $5 ticket. What'd you do? $30. Am I going to go meet him too? Yep.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do want to meet us and can't afford one of the tickets, we will be standing outside before and after our performance for a smoke.
And begging people to come in still.
Yeah.
So,
they're possibly just begging in general.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a possibility.
I'm not above it.
No, God, no. See me at a run fair.
We're just taking wild slants, Dave. Hold on to your seat.
I'm like,
buckle up, princess. Yeah. It's going to be a fun
ride. Go ahead, follow this train of thought.
Why do I want to see you at a run fair?
For begging.
Oh, I see you beg all the time.
Oh, fair enough.
Please don't hit me anymore.
Yes,
stop.
You can see him beg in a silly-ass English accent.
Oh, yes. No, he doesn't do the accent.
No, or the voice.
Or the voice, yeah.
The voice unto itself is just retarded.
It's got a lovely singing voice, haven't you, Nigel? Yep! So, there's that.
Yeah, and what's coming up with Eclectic?
I don't even know, there's too much.
Yeah, we're playing Mount Forest this weekend, which by the time this podcast airs will have passed.
It was a great show. You guys were awesome.
Thank you! Thanks, thank
good.
You so much.
We sold 2 CDs and signed boobies.
Oh.
Anybody we like?
No, I signed Brody's debts.
Oh.
He was passed out.
Oh. On the plus side, somebody signed my tits.
Says Michael Winslow. What?
I don't
just start signing other people's names, too, if anyone cares. Thanks, Wayne Brady?
George Strombolo. Can I go over to the next boob?
That guy's got the best fucking name for signing, because you can do that.
Just wrap it right around the whole body.
Well, when we were in Vegas, we went down many years ago. We went to go see Penn & Teller at the Rio.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I really liked about them was the fact that when you walk in, there's Penn's playing the upright bass.
Yeah.
And another guy that they tour with is playing the piano.
Right.
And they're just doing jazz as everybody's walking in and everything else. But he looks totally different because his hair's out and he's got the hat pulled down low and whatnot. And he's kind of like not really being
Penn.
Penn.
Yeah.
And occasionally people will be like, no, seriously, that's Penn. Dude, I'm telling you, that's Penn. And I kind of like, we were walking and we get invited up to look at this box on stage. And it's on wheels. It's one of the, you know, one of the touring boxes that you put all your equipment into and whatnot? It's one of those. There's wheels. Open it. Spin it around. Move it. Look through it and everything else. All right, fine. Everything's cool. Go find your seat. You can do something else. I can't remember what that trick was. So once the auditorium fills and whatnot, Penn goes off, the guy's still playing the piano for a bit and whatnot, then he introduces, you know, Penn and Teller. Penn comes walking out, he's got the hair all back again, he's in the suit and everything else, and he starts talking to the crowd, and he's like, we should bring out Teller, shouldn't we? Spins the box around, opens it up, fucking Teller pops out.
Wow.
It's just one of those, like, nah, fuck, I don't care how they do it, that was just...
That
was worth it. So they go through the entire show. I think it's like 90 minutes, hour and a half, rough.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's actually quite good. It's really entertaining from start to finish. But then afterwards, you're leaving the theater at the Rio, and you're walking down this hallway and whatnot, and you turn the corner because that's the way it is, and Penn, Teller, and the piano player are all standing there, signing autographs, talking to people, thanking them for coming out to see the show. And I was like, you know what? I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen them just sit there and say, you know what? Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
You know, want us to sign your... So CJ got Penn to sign her boob.
Nice.
Yeah. I was like...
Did he make the ink disappear? Or?
No. Okay. He did. He did mention that he wished he had a longer name. But other than that, I mean, like, it was just one of those things where it was kind of like, you know what? That's actually, I'd really like to see more of that.
Yeah.
You know,
when I used to tour with the Tarpenters, and I know they're nowhere near Penn and Teller status, but part of our thing was as soon as the show's done,
meet and greet.
Get out, yeah. You go, you stand in the lobby, and you sign, and you shake hands. And it, honestly, I really feel that it does
let your audience approach you, let your audience see who you actually are, and not on a stage. You know,
now in the way that if you're doing like a big stadium, like I can't see. You know, AC/DC doing that. Because, I mean, you got like the AC/DC
does that. They've got to rent the stadium for the following day because that's how long it'll take to get the line.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, you know, when you're doing like a theater show, if it's like a 2,000 seat theater.
Yeah, you can sit in. Yeah, there's no reason why. Yeah,
I don't even think the Penn and Teller Theater at the Rio is that big.
1,000 or something. Yeah.
I don't even think it's that big.
I would say between 500 and 800. Hmm. For a Las Vegas theater?
I've never been to Vegas. I don't know the size of theirs.
I've never been to Vegas either, but I've seen the size of some of their theaters. And generally, you're looking at... Yeah, it's like the Rose.
Oh, okay.
Or smaller. Yeah. It'd be between 500 and 800 seats.
But that theater is strictly Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
That, and I mean, like, there's a lot of guys that... Amazing Jonathan has his own theater at one of the casinos.
Celine.
Is she still there,
so
or is it
Elton
John?
Well, she was for a very long while. If she's not,
yeah, and then
still
Elton John took it over, and then Cher's taken it over.
Elton
they've all
John
been
ousted Celine Dion.
At Caesar's.
I want to see that in a fucking television show. That's a great celebrity boxing match.
Yeah, at Caesar's, and but like everybody,
it's a bitch punching Elton John.
It seems like every
the bitch is back.
It seems every casino has Cirque du Soleil show.
Really.
Like, in their dedicated theaters and everything else.
Wow.
Like, it's great. I like Vegas, and, I mean, like, the guy that we work with, Brian, just came back from Vegas, and I like it because you can actually go to Vegas and not gamble.
Yeah.
There is enough for you to do.
Without gambling. Yeah, because you know what? If I'm going to lose that much money, I'd rather get entertained for it.
Kidding me? The buffets alone? That'd be good for a week.
Yeah. Excalibur is one of the best buffets in the world. Surprisingly.
Is it like $75 then?
No, the one at the Rio is like top three buffets in the world, and that one is like $75. But the one at Excalibur, it looks like it's a big courtyard from a castle and whatnot. Like,
yeah.
It's all themed and whatnot. But yeah, that's reasonable there,
nice.
Like the pricing and whatnot. But I mean, like, yeah, you can go to any of the casinos and the hotels and everything else, and just walk through them.
They've got full shows, full Broadway shows sometimes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like Avenue Q was there for about 2 years just after it left Broadway.
I was happy when I ran into those guys by accident.
You ran into what, like the people or the Muppets?
Yes.
Okay.
I was,
He was tripping balls and he ran into the Muppets and had a fucking hour-long conversation.
The same way.
No, yeah. It was on tour and I can't remember, I think it was Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma, where the wind blows gently down the plains.
Yeah, no, it was weird because Kenny Chesney was playing down the road. And we were in a three theater complex, and we were in one of the theaters, and Avenue Q was in another one, and I don't remember who was in the other one. And rather than doing the smart thing and going out the front doors of our theater to go find a bathroom, because the stage was dark and we weren't allowed to go out there,
mm-hmm.
I was in the back, and I'm like, I really have to pee, so I'm going to go try to find a fucking bathroom. So I'm meandering around, just looking for a door or a sign that says washroom. Finally, I give up and I ask some lady, and in her very thick Southern accent, all I could understand was upstairs, turn right. So I went upstairs, turned right, walked around, and all I saw was all these, you know, they're just industrial doors. Like, there's no labels on them, there's fucking nothing. Open a door, and I see a bunch of puppets, and then I see a bunch of people sitting there eating, and I'm like, ah, hi. Clearly, I've got my performer's pass on. I've got my kilt and shit. I'm not some random dude. You know, like, I'm allowed to be backstage. They don't freak out. They're like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, not bad. How you guys doing? They're like, good. I'm like, what show are you guys? Like, Avenue Q? I'm like, really big fan. Really got to pee. Do you guys know where the bathroom is? They're like, yeah, just go around the corner of that way. So they told me where to go, and I came back, and they were gone.
That's a shame.
But yeah,
that's cool of them, though.
Yeah, they were like, you know, they were all of them decent people, and they're just sitting there like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, good. Love your show.
So what you having?
Gotta pee. That was the same fucking show where I went and got some salad, and as I was about to take a bite, I realized there was a caterpillar in it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. That
see?
Extra protein.
This is why nobody should eat salad.
Yeah, that's why.
Brody, in all the salads I've ever eaten, I've had one caterpillar in it.
Yep, and I've never taken that risk. Never eaten a caterpillar.
I never ate a caterpillar either.
But you look at your food before you eat it. I just shovel it into my face. I would not have had the same luck.
No, Buckin shovels his food into his face.
Buckin just kind of tips the plate back.
Oh, it's crazy. He's fucking feral, man.
Oh,
like,
really?
Well, he gets a plate of food. Watching him eat is like watching an Ethiopian kid with a fucking...
donut.
Yeah. Like, just, you get anywhere near that thing and he's chewing through you.
Yeah,
nice.
It's the oddest thing, because he's an only kid. You'd think he had 10 brothers and sisters and had the fucking Hunger Games for food in childhood. But no, he just won't sit down.
Excuse me. And he also steals other people's entrees at restaurants.
What a dick. Buckin, if you're listening,
oh, he's
you're
not
a horrible
listening.
Cunt.
It was amazing. We go to play a show.
A showcase at Finn McCool's. We were one of four bands that played it.
And
oh, is that the one up in Orangeville?
Yeah. So we're there, and Kevin orders an entree, and then Brody shows up. Brody orders an entree. And while we're waiting, we go outside for a cigarette.
Yep. Kevin. Sorry, you tell. I'll jump in when I feel it's necessary.
You sure? You don't want to tell?
You got this.
All right. So Brody and I go out for a smoke, and we come back in. As we were leaving, Kevin was just receiving his entree. We get outside, have our cigarette, have our chat, and as we get back in, Kevin's halfway through a bowl of pasta that Brody ordered.
Yeah, my bowl of pasta.
So Kevin's like, I'm sorry, it was getting cold.
Yeah.
I've ordered you another.
So in the 6 or 7 minutes it took us to go outside, we'll say 15. Because
yeah.
We went outside, we had a smoke, we had a bit of a chat.
Fuck it, 15.
Yeah, we had a bit of a chat as well. In the 15 minutes we went outside, had a smoke and a chat, and came back in. He had started his food, finished his food, decided mine was getting cold, and halfway finished mine.
Absolutely astounding.
That's awesome.
No, it was amazing.
What a power play.
It's nice to have friends like that, though, eh? Is it not?
Yeah. Certainly keeps it interesting.
True.
Hmm. Yeah. So, Brody.
Yeah?
How's your car?
Non-existent.
Sorry, there's no segue for this.
I was going to give it another 10 minutes.
That. He's getting way too calm about this. Brody, what is the goings-ons with your vehicle?
Okay, so, I was driving to yet another eclectic show. It was a wildly successful show in the park. What was the name of that particular event, sir?
The Homelands Homegrown Summer Festival.
That's right, the Homelands Homegrown Summer Festival, which we're hoping to make an annual event.
I would like to.
Yeah, no guarantees just yet, but that's the idea.
I heard the host of that was just wonderful.
Oh, he was fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
He was absolutely astounding. You know what else was amazing? All the fucking people that backed out on me. But the host was fucking wonderful.
Ooh, let's get off the car for a second. We'll go back to that.
No. Continue with the car. We've got time.
Oh, all right.
We've got 40 minutes. We've got 20 minutes of the car, and then we've got 20 minutes of people backing out on Chris.
All right, absolutely. Okay, so I was driving to that show when the car shut off. My car just shut off on the highway on the 407. I managed to get it started.
Now, before we get to this part, preface the fact that A, your car had a fucking stroke because the passenger side of everything on your car was either missing.
That's right.
Or
yes.
Broken.
The wing mirror was gone, the front headlight was out.
I said sorry about that.
Oh! Yeah, Dave ripped the wing mirror off.
No, just the reflective part.
It was pissing me off.
But, in fairness, it was already hanging by the wires when he bit it. So he just kind of finished what I started. So the car shut off, which had happened before, because my car was a piece of junk. So I bumped it into neutral, tried to start it again, as I normally do. It didn't start quite as easily as it normally does, but it did eventually start. So I got it started, drove another maybe a kilometer, and the car shut off again, and this time just would not start ever again, forever and ever. So I pulled into kind of the median between two highways, because there was no shoulder when I was driving.
Never mind the goddamn shoulder. Brody pulls into the park. Two highways meeting, the 407 and the 403.
Two roads diverge in the wood, where
both of them meet. The fast lane of the 403 and the only lane of the 407. There's that long, we'll call it 200
the
feet.
Bull nose?
Of
the
triangle?
Triangle.
The bullnose.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
He parks in that.
That or in the middle of a lane. And I'm lucky I got there because I was coasting on neutral. And I was running out of steam. So I stopped my car. I called Kerba to let him know that I was fucked. He said he would come and get me. This was at 5 o'clock on a weekday, so I knew I had a good hour or two. So I called CAA. They said they were going to send somebody rush. This was also 5 o'clock on a weekday, so I knew I had a good hour or two. And, yeah, that was
that. Well, it wasn't a weekday. It was Friday.
That's a weekday. Saturday and Sunday being weekends, all of the
5 o'clock on a Friday, that's technically the
five
weekend.
Well, 5 o'clock on Friday is still when everybody's headed home from work. Everybody in the fucking world.
Had to go through the 407 and 403 in Mississauga.
It certainly felt like it.
I show up to pick up Brody, and there he is, just sitting on the back of his car, four ways off, well, at that point, two ways. He looked like he wanted to turn
left. The left turn signal on.
So people are slowing down to look at him, and Brody just not
I'm
a goddamn
care
I'm in the
smoking,
world.
I'm waving to people. I'm enjoying myself. And what the hell else am I going
to
do?
In me trying to get there, I'm stuck in traffic that this asshole's causing. So then I show up and we're waiting for the fucking tow truck and I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, nothing. So we both sit on the back of his car and have a smoke waiting for the fucking tow truck.
Yep. Tow nice. Truck guy came out. Nice guy. It was CAA, so I didn't have to pay. I tossed him a tip and whatnot. Got it to the mechanics that I went to look at. I thought it might be a loose wire or something. I
tossed him a tip. Don't buy a fucking Nissan.
No.
Here's a nickel's worth of free advice.
The Nissan, the car itself was great.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
The shitty-ass owner that really fucked it up. And not entirely. Which will become apparent in the next time. I thought it was going to be like a loose connection or something because it wasn't even attempting to start. As it turns out, the engine had seized because there was no oil in it.
What was in the fucking oil in your car?
That's what I don't know because I took it for an oil change 3 weeks prior.
There was no oil
at all? There was no oil in the car. The engine seized entirely. The car's fucked. It's done.
Why don't you fucking... Where did you go for your oil change?
Mr. Loop.
So fucking, dude, get them to pay you for a new fucking car.
Oh, dude, it's already gone.
Man. Oh, good God.
I couldn't prove it if I wanted to. Now the car's done. I've sold it.
How the fuck did you sell that?
I sold it to a body shop next door to the mechanics I towed it to. But it was that or take it to the scrapyard, and the scrapyard only gave me $100 or $200 for it.
I sold it to a blind guy. He didn't notice.
Told him he was driving fine. He's probably still out at the back of that mechanic shop now. Just whistling.
Whistling Daisy?
No, it's a blind person's car. You just sit in it, it drives you places.
You just tell them where you want to go. So you went and got your oil change 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is the first time hearing about this part.
I can't believe I didn't tell you that.
Fuck. Brody.
So for 3 weeks,
yeah,
your car was leaking oil. Apparently.
I guess. I'd never seen... There's no oil spot in my driveway. I think they said they changed the oil. I just didn't bother.
But they usually show you the dipstick.
They did.
Dipstick?
They did. There was everything looked... I think they dipped it in the bottle of oil. There you go. See? All full. All right. See ya, dickhead. What a fucking mess. So...
Did no warning lights or anything come on?
No!
How did...
Nothing!
How did no fucking lights come on in your car?
I don't
know. Nissan's a great fucking product.
It's a moot point now, isn't it? Well, dude, no, think about how
okay,
much
first,
I drove that
first,
car.
Regardless of that, the fact that Nissan had a fucking recall on your car...
On my make and model and year.
But your car didn't qualify.
Because they realized that there was no oil in it and they didn't want to fucking compensate.
Which at some point in time makes me think that Nissan has a chip inside the car and they can just call it up and go, this car's had a stroke, just kill it. just put it out of its fucking misery.
The way they said is the recall covered a sequence of VIN numbers and I was not in that sequence of VIN numbers.
Which, at that point, I can kind of go, yes.
Yeah,
and you know
what,
in hindsight, knowing that, you know...
It sucked, but it makes
sense. Your car not working because there was no fucking oil in it.
Not my fault! Well, I thought there was.
See, I don't... I can somewhat understand your point because, yes, you did go for an oil change. But I also can't understand your point because it's your fucking car.
Yeah.
At some point,
as such, I should have developed a psychic link with it by now and known there was no oil in it when I put oil in it 3 weeks ago.
But you said you had the oil change.
Yes.
You saw them put the oil in.
Well, I saw my hood as they were putting the oil in.
They showed you the dipstick.
Yes.
And over the last 3 weeks, nothing came on your dashboard saying that there's an issue?
No.
Oh, motherfucker, there would be so many angry phone calls I would be making. And,
to both. I'd be calling Mr. Lube. Mr. Lube, Nissan, say, like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
Like,
hey,
what exactly
why
was the recall?
Oil my car?
Well, the recall was for the positive battery terminal and its connecting wire and washer. Basically, the positive battery terminal had too much of the zinc coating that they put on that, and it was causing, at low RPMs, it was causing the charge to drop, which is exactly what was happening to my car. Anytime I hit the brakes, or if I was driving really slowly or driving in reverse, the car would shut off, and then I'd have to start it.
It's one of those things where it's kind of like,
Brody, as a life lesson to you, mm-hmm. if you ever have a car mm-hmm. that has an issue, whether like, and I don't mean like, oh, a light's out or this is an easy fix. If you ever have a car where it dies on you or something of that nature, find out.
Check the fluids.
Well, first and foremost, check your fluids. Because that's, you know, it's stuff that you can do, and it'll save you money if going to a mechanic or what have you.
Yep.
Next, if a car dies on you, for instance, your engine seizes, mm-hmm. find out why. Because an engine won't just seize. There's yep. always a reason for it. And for something like there being no oil in it, if there's no oil patch in your driveway where you park it, or there's no obvious signs of leaking, then clearly, whoever put the oil in your car didn't put the oil in your car.
Maybe they just sprayed it on the engine, hoping it would seep in.
Or what happened was, you know, when we
work by osmosis.
No, I mean, like the places that are doing the oil changes now, they're all the, you know, there's a guy underneath and a guy up top.
Yeah.
And they yell at each other.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But you know what? Sometimes miscommunication happens where the guy says, "Hey, I'm doing this now," and the guy in the bottom goes, "Okay." But if the guy up top, or if the guy in the bottom doesn't put the oil pan plug back in, and the guy in the top's putting new oil in, guess what? There's no fucking oil in the car.
Oh,
all of a sudden the guy downstairs goes, "Oh, I have to put this fucking plug back in." Puts the plug back in. He goes, "You're good on number one," thinking, okay, now you're going to put oil in it, but the guy up top's already put the new oil in.
But wouldn't the dipstick show that?
Not if the dipstick's in while the guy fucking, you know what I mean? Like, they're pumping in oil faster than it can come out of the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, there's so many factors that can go wrong, but at the same time, there's still liability. They are the cause of your car. They're the cause of the engine seizing.
Yeah.
Because they didn't do their job by putting oil in your car.
Well, I'm an idiot and I've sold it already, so I don't really have a leg to stand on.
No, you're
for this fucking time.
Yeah.
In that respect. I'm sure something like this will happen again because it always does.
That is very true, Brody. You for some reason, dude, and you can say that I'm a fucking jinx or whatever. You an automobile, you just take the fucking bus.
So
I actually haven't had bad luck with cars.
When you're getting a new car, are you gonna get a Jeep?
No, fuck no. Fuck you. I would like to say this right now. I cannot speak for Noelt, nor for a ton of fun entertainment, but eclectic entertainment. But I, Nicholas Brody, have to say, for the whole world to hear, fuck you, Jeep. Your car, holy shit, that thing's a death trap.
Yeah, that thing's a fucking...
It's too tall! I drove my car, and that thing's a death trap. It's too tall, it's clumsy, it's fucking slow. The one that I have has no AC, which is more of a piss-off than a problem with the car.
Tall,
it's a
clumsy,
really big piss-off.
Tall, clumsy, and slow? You just fucking described me.
Yeah! You're a piss-off, too!
How's the turning radius on it?
It's about the turning radius of a small ship.
That was a hell of a pop on your
feet. Thank you very much.
Small ship.
Yes. Slides into most parking spots, much like the Queen Mary into dock. Fuck.
Now,
it's
so,
just weird.
Okay,
I'm sitting at about the height of
a
the
regular
roof
person.
Of the roof of every other car I've owned.
Which a lot of people I hear is the reason why they buy the Jeeps is because they're higher.
I don't fucking get it. It's just weird. I feel like
But you like being high.
Yeah. In mind, not in body. I like these feet fans planted firmly on the fucking ground. At all times. Less I'm jumping or lying down.
You know, when the fuck jump. You jump?
When he sees police.
There's like a donut or something on a high shelf. I'll jump then. Climb, maybe. I'll run if there's an ice cream truck.
So, really?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh, I've chased down. I've kicked off the shoes and went. Holding onto the back bumper with my teeth.
That's why his car's fucking dead, because he kept trying to stop ice cream trucks. Fuck's sake.
Doing the pit maneuver.
Oh, that's really easy, actually. You can easily stop an ice cream truck in a car. You just pull in front of it, put the four ways on, let the engine seize. Sorry, two ways.
No oil? Let's get some ice cream then. Yeah. Rockets for everybody.
I'm pretty sure butterscotch will lubricate that engine just fine.
Good God, Brody.
Can I get a twisty cone? Yeah. So, the homeland summer home.
No, let's keep going with you, man. You're on a fucking roll.
I'm pretty much done. That's the situation. I've explained what happened to the old car. I've said that my sister's car, the Jeep, is shit. And that's really all I got till I get a new car.
Are you looking?
I was, and I found one that I liked. And I called my father. He said, don't buy that, I can get you one cheaper. And he hasn't talked to me fucking since. Which is fine. Which is fine. Because I've got my mom's car till I get a new car. And then I woke up to come here, and my brother had stolen my mom's car from under. So there goes that fucking idea. So the car that I wanted and could afford, I couldn't get because I had to get a cheaper car that my dad was going to help me get. And my dad's not around when I'm around. But I have a car, so that's okay. But everybody else in the family has access to it too. And don't tell me they're taking it. And this is my life. Yep.
So here we go. What kind of car do you want? Or what kind of car do you want?
One that fucking drives! I don't give a shit at this point!
Oil's optional.
Yeah! I don't care. Give me a car without a bottom. I'll Flintstone in places.
Give me an electric car.
Jesus.
No, because bro, you keep trying to start the fucking thing because he can't hear it.
That probably
is. Is this a... Oh, God! No, because Sporty has to remember to fucking plug it in every night, and that'll never fucking
true.
Happen.
Good point. No, so what kind of car did you find that...
It was a 2012 Honda Civic, which I'm not a big fan of Honda Civics, but this one was fairly nice. It was about the right size that I needed. It was...
Hobbit.
Well, no, I mean, like, because my dad...
Been to Mordor and back three times.
My mom's got a Toyota.
Okay, yeah.
My mom's got a Toyota Corolla. My dad's got a Mazda 3. Both of them are just a little bit smaller than I need. They're too small. They're still four-door sedans, but they're more compact on the inside, not a lot of trunk space. Honda Civic, decent amount of trunk space, decent amount of room inside.
You should look into a Volkswagen.
Yeah, man.
I know, but see, the Volkswagen, the trouble is...
The diesel. Get the diesel.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
No, man, dude, the diesels now are fucking fantastic.
That's fine if I can find a gas station that has diesel, dude, which a lot of them do. I will find, be running out of, yep, that's fine. I will guarantee you that I will run out of gas in a place where there is no diesel gas station fucking anywhere in sight. That is my luck. Every gas station carries petrol. Some gas stations carry diesel.
Most of them do now.
Most of them. 90, I won't find that one 90, when I need
90%
it.
90% of them will.
Yeah, I mean, like...
but that 10% is where I'll be running out of gas.
And if you're...
But again, if you're...
Big truck drives through, they'll have them, because big trucks run on diesel.
If... No, correct me if I'm wrong, but...
Well, the other thing is, I'm not buying new, I'm buying used.
Yeah, but even still, you could probably find a used Volkswagen somewhere. I mean, like, those things are, like, they're German-built.
Yeah.
You know, like, they last forever.
They're built to fucking last. You can fit a lot of people in those.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Bazinga!
Any repairs cost more because they're not North American parts.
but they last longer, and those parts don't break down. And
yeah, you very rarely see
that. And because of technology today, a lot of those parts are being made universal, which means that you can get them.
Okay, all right.
You'll pay a bit more, but you're
And which one?
Because either that one or you know what? Had,
that's too small.
No, dude, you can get bigger. Like Volkswagen's got some fantastic.
I like four doors. I like sedans. I like a trunk, not a hatchback.
So the smart car is out.
Yes, that's weird.
I fucking hate. Yeah, you're talking. You're bitching about driving a Jeep. I can't even fucking fathom
the smart car. It's because like if you look in the rearview mirror, whatever car is behind you appears to be in your back seat. Because there is no back seat. The car just ends.
That's fucked. Well, fuck that.
Christine has a smart car. Yes, she does.
Okay. Yes, and she loves it. That car is too... With the amount of driving that I do, that car is way too small
for me. Oh, yeah. No. That
there's
especially, I'd be lucky if I got my guitar in there. Never mind the full thing of band equipment.
Well, you don't really need the guitar, do you?
Ow. Ow. And no, not really.
Oh, that hurt my feelings. But you're right.
Yeah, that hurt my feelings, but it's also based in quite a bit of truth. So,
I apologize if anyone hears the sound of paper. I'm going through a book of paper that has a bunch of band set lists from probably the past 2 years and ripping them out. So I apologize if you hear that and it's annoying. But fuck you, deal with it. Yeah.